Welcome back to Hoops HD Championship Week video notebook, day number 9, if I have my math done correctly.
It's a long week. It's a long week. It's a fortnight.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica down below there, David Griggs over there on the other side. And
it's a long time to be in this book. Chad, it's been more than a week. Why can't you just let me out?
David, I was watching TV tonight. Joe Lenardi's still in his bunker. You belong.
He's not
yours.
In a bunker. He's in a studio. He keeps saying moronic things like Notre Dame is on the bubble.
Yeah, at least he said that Notre Dame's got to win tomorrow before they get there.
Boy, I mean, yeah. Did they make a statement today? Did you see what they did to Pittsburgh?
I'll tell you what, we're going to get there in a minute, but what we want to do here with this video notebook is do some news and notes, review and preview conference tournament games, update our survival board. We have a trivia contest at the end that David's very involved in. And as a quick note before we start, we are recording this around 11:30 here on Tuesday night. John, we're cheating. What's going on?
Yeah, apparently we still have a one big sky game in progress between Portland State and Idaho State, if I'm not mistaken.
Sac State.
Yeah, that game is going on right now, and we'll get to that in a minute, but that is not final yet, so we do we kind of cheated tonight. But news and notes, not much in terms of news and notes for the day, although I guess let's briefly touch on this, David. A lot talked during the Gonzaga game tonight about the Zags potentially moving out of the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, it's been rumored, it's been, I guess, supposed over the years. They would kind of be a good fit for the Mountain West. The Mountain West has 11 full members and 12 in football, so this would give them 12 full members with Hawaii as a football affiliate, gives them a little more chemistry. From a competition standpoint, I know the Mountain West has been down the last 2 or 3 years. It's still, I think, better than the West Coast Conference top to bottom, minus perhaps Gonzaga and St. Mary's. The crowds are a little bigger. The budgets are a little bigger. I think it would be a better fit for Gonzaga. I know institutionally they make a lot of sense in the West Coast Conference because it's a Jesuit school. I think of those 10 schools, all of them are private, and 8 of them are Catholic or something. So, but the Mountain West would be a good destination for them. I think they would get a little bit more money. I think that they would bring a lot to the league. And there's talk of the Mountain West expanding beyond that and maybe going to 14. It would be interesting to see. I don't want to say who they may or may not be adding because, again, right now it's just rumors. But I don't know. You asked me about it, but what do you think of this? Is this good, bad, both, or neither?
Well, to clarify, there's actually 7 Catholic institutions, whereas BYU is Mormon, and yeah. I don't think Pepperdine and Pacific are religious affiliated that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. Thanks. Yeah,
but as far as the move, I think it's a good move for Gonzaga. I think it hurts me as a West Coast Conference fan for years now. I mean, leaves BYU behind him, kind of be a BYU St. Mary's conference. I'm kind of upset because it looks like the rest of the West Coast Conference was just getting ready to start spending money and getting better. You know, we've seen a little bit of money shelled out for some bigger name coaches the last few years, guys like Herb Sendek, David Stoudemire, Terry Porter. But I do understand it. And I think the West Coast Conference may be able to keep Gonzaga in, but they're going to have to say, hey, listen, we're going to give you half the money and split the rest of the money between the rest of us or something. And I don't know that that's going to end up happening.
Yeah. So the other thing that's happened with Gonzaga in the fold, the past 10 years, they've actually played their conference tournament in Orleans Arena, and it's really become a destination event with Gonzaga fans helping to sell out the place. St. Mary's and BYU just aren't going to have that same type of following that I know of.
Yeah, BYU's well-supported, as is St. Mary's, but they just don't – at least from a basketball standpoint, they just don't have the brand. And that could be an option, Chad, if the West Coast really values Gonzaga. Just for those of you that don't know, the NCAA tournament credits are given to the conference, and it's my understanding that the West Coast splits them all evenly. There's nothing terribly unusual about that. Most of the Power Fives do that. some conferences have variations that if you're the team that's playing in the game, you get a bigger share, maybe a quarter of it or a third of it, whereas the conference splits the rest of it. They could do something like that with Gonzaga. And they also split their television money evenly. Again, as I understand it, if I'm wrong, well, you can't, what are you going to do? Sue a puppet? You can't just sue a puppet. But, and Gonzaga is probably the biggest brand there. They're probably the reason they get the money that they do, and they probably feel they deserve a little more than what they get. I get that, and there might be more for them in the Mountain West just because it's you know, it's an FBS conference. There might be more for them, but the West Coast, like you said, is starting to build itself up, and maybe they can hang on to Gonzaga.
Well, David, I guess the only comment I would have on that is if they do move to the Mountain West, I'm assuming they are not. Well, they definitely couldn't be getting a full share because the football side, because they have
right, no they wouldn't, yeah.
So they would not be getting, you know, a significant portion of the Mountain West money. I'm certain comes from the football side of things. So, you know, are they ready? Are they willing to give up a potential larger share than regular share in the West Coast to get a smaller share in the Mountain West? Although, again, it's going to come down to money. It's at the end of the day, I think. But let's move on. One other piece of news coming up from out west, Reggie Theus, his time at Cal State Northridge is over. Absolute complete crash and burn there for him. I mean, it was just he did not have anywhere near the success that I thought he might have out there. So good luck to him in his next pursuit. But
yeah, he had no success. And that was surprising to me because he walked into a – pitiful New Mexico State program that had won, I think, 4 games in 3 years or something. If it was better than that, it wasn't by much. And in his second year, got them to the NCAA tournament, won 20-plus games, did a really good job, and actually left that for an NBA job. And you look at him at Northridge, and it just doesn't make any sense why he wasn't able to get it going there.
Well, it's over there for him. But let's go ahead into what actually happened on the court tonight and jump right into the game of the night. Colonial Athletic Association championship game. David, it was looking like a Northeastern blowout for the first half and that this would be probably the last game we would discuss tonight. It was so ugly. And then things changed.
really good showing by Northeastern, at least for the first 30 minutes. But playing in Charleston, They just kept chipping away at it. The crowd really got into it. Like, they were not into the game at all and weren't really a factor. But I think that including carried Bill the momentum. Murray. What's that?
Including Bill Murray.
Including Bill Murray, who was there leading the cheers. And they ended up forcing overtime. There was somewhat of a controversial – and some would say controversial. I would say incorrect traveling call called on Northeastern that got the game in the overtime. But you can't just – point to that one play and say that's what went wrong. I mean, it was a really, strong comeback by College of Charleston. Good job by Earl Grant to keep their poise against the team that, quite frankly, was running them out of the building.
Yeah, Charleston never actually led the game until the overtime period.
They didn't. Yeah.
And Earl Grant just, I mean, he picked up a program here that was a complete mess when he came into Charleston and has done such an amazing job building it up here. Getting them their first bid since, I think, 1999, John, if I'm correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Back when John Kress was still coaching there.
David, I have a feeling this might be Earl Grant's last season at Charleston also.
It may be. I thought last year he might be on his way out the door, but in some of the jobs that opened, particularly Dayton, who hired Anthony Grant, who didn't seem like a bad hire, but I thought Earl Grant would at least would have been in the discussion for some of the jobs that opened, and he wasn't. VCU, another one. That I think he would have done very well at either one of those places.
John, also a championship game in the early session was the Horizon League. Wright State took care of business.
Well, it didn't look that way from the very beginning, where I think Cleveland State had jumped out to a 5 or 6 point lead in the first 10 minutes. It was starting to look like a rock fight, which had taken place for most of the past Horizon games, but they finally opened things up in the second half thanks to threes from Grant Benzinger and a nice inside game from Loudon Love. So the Raiders finally look like the team that we thought they would back in February, so this will be their third trip to the Big Dance in their D1 program history.
Yeah. David, can we get them a first-round matchup with Clemson?
I don't know. Clemson will have to work their way up the seed list a little bit.
Something. The note there, of course, being the last time Wright State was in the tournament, their head coach was Brad Brownell.
Yeah, and I was about to say, well, that was the last time Brad Brownell was in the tournament, but he did make one at Clemson. I forget the year.
David, another championship game. We had 5 bids total given out today, so the third one we're going to hit on is the Northeast Conference, one of our favorite conferences, where coming into tonight, Wagner had been 16-0 at home.
Yeah, they're 16-1 now, and not only that, the Blackbirds just jumped out ahead of them, and Wagner never caught up. It was kind of astounding. It was exactly what I thought it would be in the opposite. You know, I didn't think Wagner would blow them out, but I thought they would have a 10-12, basically in-control lead for the whole game the way Long Island did, but it didn't happen. And really kind of surprising, this was a Wagner team that had looked really good, better than anyone else in the league throughout the year, and just didn't have it tonight.
I guess we should have known this was coming, though, John, especially because the Northeast Conference, it never really goes according to form. I mean, we saw those 2 first-round upsets that you predicted. So, I mean, I think maybe we just kind of overlooked Brooklyn last night when we previewed this game, didn't we?
I would also say raise your hand if you thought Derek Kellogg was going to be leading a team to the NCAA tournament after getting fired at UMass last year.
Yep.
Yeah, well, congrats to him. And where's UMass? Well, I guess they're still playing, but that's about it.
We'll get to them a little bit later in the show.
Right. I think we will, yeah. Let's jump over to the evening championship games and start with the last game that went final was the Summit League tournament game. And, John, this was a game that we thought was going to be a really good game, and it just wasn't there, although I guess the Coyotes made a late push, but it was just too late, I think, wasn't it?
They got it down to, I think, about 8 points with 3 minutes to go. They missed a 3 that would have cut it to 5, and that seemed to take the air out of their sails. So congratulations to South Dakota State on making their third straight trip to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, South Dakota has just improved incrementally, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years. And here they are, I think, with 25 wins. Hopefully there's a postseason tournament of some kind in their future other than the CBI. Nobody should have to play in that. But, you know, still, like last year, they were the first place team and they got upset by South Dakota State in the semis. And it kind of just crushed their world. And this year there was no – I mean, they just didn't have enough. They had a good team. They're getting better, but South Dakota State's still ahead of them. Both these teams looking strong again next year. Are we going to see, again, these two teams in the finals?
I'll tell you, one of the things that was a key to this game, though, Dave, was in the first half when Mike Daum had to go to the bench with foul trouble. He's the superstar there for South Dakota State. South Dakota State actually extended their lead with Daum on the bench, and that's
yeah. –
I just said there's no way South Dakota's going to catch them, but
right, and really good defense in that first half by South Dakota State too. And this is a dangerous team. I mean, you're going to hear us say that a lot. You've heard us say that if you've been watching Under the Radar all year, that there's a lot of these Under the Radar teams are really dangerous if the chalk holds, and in this case it did, and in the case of the Colonial it did, and you know these are teams that are really going to put the squeeze on some of these. You know, power conference teams in the round of 64.
Well, let's talk about a team that's not going to be putting the squeeze at anybody, but because they are going to be a very high seed, and that's Gonzaga. You know, anybody that was worried about BYU stealing a bid had nothing to worry about 10 minutes into this game, David.
Yeah, Gonzaga just blew their doors off. This is a really good Gonzaga team. I don't think they're quite as good as they were a year ago, but they can go deep into this tournament. It wouldn't shock me if they got back to the Final Four. I think that we've just kind of gotten the sense of what can you really say about Gonzaga because they just dominate their competition. And it's you don't really measure them or follow them the same way you do the power teams that are constantly playing other teams of their caliber. But this is a really, really good Gonzaga team.
So those are the five bids we had today. John, let's take a look at the one conference that was in the semifinal round. That was the America East, which wasn't very exciting, though.
I mean, it started off like Stony Brook like might have a chance to hang with Vermont, for example, but that was another game that got blown open late in that one, and UMBC also not having too much difficulty against Hartford, so at least here we get the two best teams meeting first thing Saturday morning.
Yeah, we don't get that rematch of Vermont and Hartford, which was Vermont's only conference loss of the season. It came at home for the Catamounts, but UMBC, really impressive, I thought. And I think, David, I mean, it's not coming up till Saturday morning here at 11 a.m., but what do you think about this Vermont-UMBC game? Do the Retrievers have a shot?
Oh, yeah, I mean, just a good story for their program, really turning it around. They went from winning four in five games in consecutive years to being not conference front runners, but contending for a conference championship. Great story there. No, they have no chance.
Just as a side note here, the senior class at Vermont picked up their 99th win as a class tonight. They're going to go for number 100 on top of everything else on Saturday in the championship game. So
that's an average of 25 a year, if my puppet math is correct.
That is.
Oh, your puppet math is accurate.
Yeah. Guys like Trail Bay Haynes and the like. Let's turn to the big conference that got under the way today. ACC.
How about that was Notre Dame? That was bubbling, firing.
John, how about the first game there? We saw Boston College get a conference tournament win. We saw Notre Dame squeezed by Pitt, and Syracuse just handled Wake. Wake tried to make a few runs, but
Be deceived by how close that score was. They had opened up the game on what I think was a 20-4 run, but they certainly held off Wake for tonight. But now the question for Syracuse becomes, can they get at least one win of significance with North Carolina now looming in front of them?
Well, David, let me, before we get to the Notre Dame question, what about the Syracuse question? Is that enough avoiding the bad loss today to put them in, or do they need the Carolina game tomorrow?
I think they're right on the bubble. Maybe they're in, maybe they're not. If they win tomorrow, I think they're in.
And
I don't think they'll win tomorrow.
And what about the Notre Dame question? How far do they need to go to get in? Let's put it that way.
Three more wins.
So to the championship game, but not winning.
Yeah, right.
John,
maybe.
I could probably argue they might even be able to get away with at least beating Uncle Buzz and Duke, but I wouldn't be leaving anything to chance, though, with, as we've said earlier, the bubble being a little stronger compared to recent years.
Well, let's take a look at tomorrow's the games that are tomorrow, beginning at noon with an interesting Florida State-Louisville. Again, talking bubble, Louisville, another team right there squarely on the bubble.
Louisville needs that win without it. Well, I guess they'll remain on the bubble, but a win doesn't necessarily put them in, but a loss doesn't necessarily put them out, hence the term bubble. But it would be in their best interest to win that one.
And what about the other three games? Do we see any upsets here in the BC against NC State, Notre Dame against Vatek, or Syracuse against Carolina games?
I could see Boston College knocking off NC State just because NC State's real erratic.
And this is not an awful Boston College team.
No, it's not. Yeah.
They were borderline being on the bubble all season, on the bad side of it all season, but kind of home there.
Yeah, I agree.
I just have a strange feeling Syracuse might be able to pull it off against North Carolina tomorrow.
You almost wonder with this Carolina team, they look and say, hey, we got the sixth seed in this tournament. We have a long way to go. How much they really come out and want to be there even versus just getting ready for the NCAA tournament.
And that's a good point. Sometimes you need to win your first game to build up some momentum to get fired up about the tournament.
I could see them not really wanting to be there. Syracuse having, the sort of home court because they are New York's college team. Probably the only college in New York. But we'll see what happens.
Might be a little sparsely attended tomorrow due to weather, but they'll definitely be getting the game going with the teams and three officials in town for that one.
We saw action today in the Big Sky first round action. The early game, David, a real fun one as North Dakota snuck by Montana State.
Yeah, Montana State jumped out to a huge lead, and I thought a couple things, that we were going to get the Montana-Montana State quarterfinal game and that North Dakota would have played their last Big Sky game, moving on to the Summit League next year. But, mounted kind of a big comeback. It's kind of – and, again, just a real kind of a fun game to watch. I was watching this instead of the ACC. Again, they needed to get the fire marshal in there. There were so many people there. I tweeted that out earlier about just massive, massive crowds in Reno.
The other two games were not as close. Although I guess Idaho State, Southern Utah was a little bit – Idaho State
– Yeah, yeah. Southern Utah kind of opened it up in the last minute or two. That one actually was kind of close.
But to elaborate on what the puppet said, Montana State actually had a 19-point lead, I think, early in the second half before the Nodax came back.
Yeah.
And as we record this right now, Portland State has a 17-point lead almost at the halftime over Sacramento State. David, because everybody is watching, that game's already gone final. Talk about Portland State's great victory tonight.
I mean, they just opened it up against a team that was clearly inferior to them. Portland State, kind of disappointing in conference play this year, but they have a chance to make amends for it now that they're into the quarterfinals.
Now, for those of you watching, in case that was a mistake and Sacramento State came back, just listen to the next segment. John, talk to us about Sacramento State's great comeback tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was a – never mind.
Yeah, good. I mean, again, it looked like Portland State was going to run away from them, but, you know, they just went cold and Sac State – getting the really big unexpected win, and now they got to play against a pretty good Eastern Washington team.
All right, and we're going to be fixing that. We'll edit out that bad portion of the podcast there. And go ahead. This conference is actually off tomorrow. The women's games are tomorrow in the Big Sky in Reno. So back in action again on Thursday. Any of today's winners going to win on Thursday?
No.
I'll tell you, Idaho better be careful with Southern Utah. That's all I got to say.
I don't know. I think this is going to be a great tournament after this quarterfinal round. I think once it gets down to the semis, it's going to be fun. But I'm not really seeing any even close games in the quarter.
Well, maybe Portland State, should they get
– Yeah, Portland State, Eastern Washington might be good.
But I would say Portland State and Northern Colorado both have decent chances to move on.
Miak, a little bit off the screen there. Let's fix that. There we go. Miak, we had the final three first-round games today, starting with Florida A&M beating Howard. Howard made an early second-half comeback, but then Florida A&M put him away. Morgan State holding off a furious comeback by South Carolina State, and NC Central rolled Coppin State, John.
Yep, mostly chalk holding up except for the Florida A&M, but as we saw last night, it certainly wasn't without drama.
David, we have the first two quarterfinals tomorrow. It's the one seed of Hampton getting A&M and the two seed Bethune-Cookman getting Morgan State. Do you see an upset tomorrow in either one of those games?
No, but don't be surprised if they both end up being upsets.
I would not be surprised. I think any of these eight teams left could win this conference tournament at this point.
Yeah, it really is wide open.
Last conference I was in action tonight was the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Everybody playing off to try to get to that matchup with Grambling on Sunday for the automatic.
Yeah. We have not been told that our waiver was denied, so we're assuming it was accepted and that they're going to be allowed to play that game.
We had some close games here. Some of them we were able to watch. Some of them had no coverage at all. Some of them had pay-per-view streams that did not work. Southern.
But, yeah. Come on, Southern.
Which was a shame because it was a nice ending to the Southern and Jackson State game.
Yeah, they thought the game was going overtime, actually, but they reviewed it and a foul had taken place. They found out the foul did take place 0.6 seconds before the final buzzer, so Southern won it on a pair of free throws. They advanced to play Pine Bluff. They got a real tough battle for Mississippi Valley State, David.
Yeah, no, kind of surprising there. Considering how bad Mississippi Valley is, but you know, they survived in advance. So, you know, chalk holding in both the MEAC and the SWAC.
Yeah, all four top four seeds advance. They'll play next on Friday in Houston. So a couple days off in this tournament. We'll be back to visit again in a few days here. But let's turn to tomorrow night's games. And there's a lot of them, a lot of conferences we haven't touched on yet. But one conference we have discussed, and the only automatic bid coming tomorrow, John, Patriot League title game, Colgate at Bucknell.
This is going to be a rematch of a game where Colgate actually had a 10-point lead with under a minute to play, but Bucknell was able to mount a furious comeback. So we'll be able to see if Bucknell is able to hold off Colgate again or whether the Raiders will have a revenge on their minds.
That was a furious comeback. It was a ridiculous comeback.
Yeah, that's good. That's the only championship game tomorrow, but we've got a lot of conferences tipping off tomorrow. And a few of the major ones. Let's start the Big East. Tomorrow night is first round game, Georgetown St. John's, Marquette in a must win game against DePaul in the late game, if they want any shot at making the NCAA tournament. So David,
agreed.
Two questions. One, do you see Marquette potentially losing? And two, who wins this entire tournament?
Marquette is all over the place. I could see them potentially losing, but I don't think they will. As far as who's going to win the tournament, I cannot believe I am going to say that I think Creighton has a shot, because I could see the bracket collapsing. I could see the Johnnies taking down Xavier. They've played them tough both times. And it's a situation where Xavier is most likely on the one line and it worse the two line, whereas the Johnnies are playing to stay alive. They're in their home city as well. So they're I could, and again, we just got through discussing like sometimes the mentality of teams that know they're in the NCAA tournament when they play that first conference tournament game, it's kind of hard to get up for it until you build a little bit of momentum. And I could potentially see Nova being taken out too because they've slipped up before. John, so I'm going to go with Creighton.
John?
Well, one of the reasons St. John's got off to the slow start was they had two losses mixed into Georgetown in the interim, and one of them was in a heartbreaking fashion in D.C. So I don't know if they're going to be able to beat them without Shamori Pons, but they were able to beat Butler at home without him, so I could see that one going either way. But I think this is the year where Xavier's had a lot of close calls, but I do think they can finally get over the hump and actually win the whole tournament. But like the puppet said, it wouldn't surprise me if they lost at noontime on Thursday either.
I'm going with the team that, even though the two seed, I think they're the favorite here, and I'm going with Villanova. I think it's interesting. I think a Villanova Seton Hall semifinal should be a ton of fun. I think we're going to see Villanova Xavier round three, and therefore a blowout in the championship game.
a 25-point victory for Villanova.
So you don't think this is going to be the year where Butler finally gets over the hump and possibly takes out Villanova in the semis?
I think Butler's going to be sweating on Sunday. I think they'll get in, but I think they're going to be sweating. SEC first round day tomorrow, Georgia Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, South Carolina. David, how excited are you for these two very meaningful games?
I'm not.
Okay. So let's go straight to the question of who wins the SEC tournament.
I think Kentucky wins it. I just think that they've been playing really well for the most part. I just get the sense that they're a talented team that has a season behind them and they're on the verge of hitting their stride. But I don't think anybody playing tomorrow goes any further than tomorrow's games. I would be a little more excited about this. You see that if they did a standard bracket instead of a ladder, we'd have six opening round games. We could have one tomorrow and then we could play that other. What? I'm just
we're
trying
not playing
to
the quick ladder game again. Sleeka, how about a prediction for the SEC tournament?
I'm not sure I would take Auburn given some of their issues, and I don't want to take Florida because they still seem to be a little bit too schizo to win an event like this. So, and since I'm not prepared to fully trust Kentucky, I'm going to take Tennessee to win the whole thing.
I like that pick, but I'm not going there. Florida. And while they may seem schizo, those four teams that play tomorrow, they went 2-5 against those teams. Everybody else in that bracket, they went 9-2 against. That's why I'm taking Florida, because as long as Arkansas takes care of the South Carolina Ole Miss winner, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So let's move over to let's go to a conference that where we could definitely see a bid stolen, and that's the Pac-12 tomorrow, opening round day. Given that we only have one team that's clearly locked into the field at this point in Arizona. Yeah. John, let me start with you in this one. Colorado, Arizona State, Stanford, and Cal, they did the big game there. Washington, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington State tomorrow. You see any upsets there? I guess Washington's the only really bubble team, right? Or Arizona State.
Well, I think Oregon State is another team that's gradually been improving over the second half of the year. And with Washington fading, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Beavers win that one. And Arizona State, I think they win that game, but they are going to be sweating bullets if they can't beat Colorado.
They will be. I think they beat Colorado, and that's as far as they go, and I think they're fine. But they will be sweating.
I'm not certain they can beat Colorado. I mean, Colorado's had some life this year, finished ahead of them in the standings, at least get 8 seed over the 9 seed. I'm not certain. I think Arizona State could be in a ton of trouble, and I don't know that they get by this team tomorrow even. This could be one of the games to circle on the calendar tomorrow, in fact, that 8-9 game in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I remember back in January, I think it was mid-January, you had said, at this rate, we're going to be talking about Arizona State as a bubble team. Here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the picks to win the Pac-12 tournament, I'm going to go a little bit down here. I'm going to take Utah to win this thing. I think they got the easier side of the bracket there.
Buddy seems to like them.
David, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm just not seeing it with Utah. I could see – I just think Arizona's going to win it. They're just better than everybody else.
You look at Utah's road to the championship game. Just got to get by USC. Nobody else there is really a threat, are they?
Yeah, then they got to win the championship game. And USC is better than Utah.
Okay. John, who's your pick at the Pac-12?
I'm going to take the Arizona-UCLA winner to reach the title game. But in this case, I think the Bruins have it in them to pull off a title this year.
I like that pick. I'm sticking with Arizona, but I really like the UCLA pick. They could beat them. They've beaten them already.
Big 12 first round game, a huge game coming up at 7 o'clock tomorrow night between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Bubble implications all over the place there. Oklahoma, I mean, we're shocked that Arizona State's a 9 seed. How about Oklahoma being a 9 seed?
That's almost preposterous. Yeah, I mean, the way it's gone. And that is a big one because I think Oklahoma is relatively state safe, but Oklahoma State has a chance to play their way in. And if they knock out Kansas for a third time, the next game is winnable. I mean, Oklahoma State, it's not entirely crazy to think that they could play their way into the finals or they could lose tomorrow.
Texas might need that win against Iowa State to get in.
They do.
There is a scenario here. Let's say Oklahoma State does win 2 games. Let's say Baylor, who's a bit of a bubble team, beats West Virginia. And out of nowhere, Iowa State wins this entire event. Stalika, can we get all 10 members of the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament in that scenario?
Unfortunately, if that were to happen, I think Texas might be the odd team out, given Iowa State would have beaten the Longhorns in the process.
But Iowa State would be a tournament team at that point. It would have 4 really nice wins this week at that point. It's not that bad of a loss at that point, right?
I mean, I know there's going to be conspiracy theorists out there trying to construct a way to get 10 teams, but I just don't see it happening.
I think we have a real – if Oklahoma State wins tomorrow, we have a shot at – especially if Oklahoma State and Texas win tomorrow, we have a shot at 9, and which is amazing.
One thing is for certain. I'm sure tickets are going to be going for a lot more than just $5 that we saw for the Big Ten opening round, for example.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be tough to get – I'm taking Kansas to win this entire event, though. David?
I don't know. It's too – let me see. It's too tough to call because Kansas has had their issues too. And it's in Kansas City. I mean, if they were playing in Dallas, I would pick Kansas in a heartbeat.
So John, do you have a pick? David's going no pick.
I am sort of on board with him. I'm going to take West Virginia to actually win the whole thing because they've also been playing some of their better ball the second half of the year. I don't trust Texas Tech and Kansas themselves. You don't always know which Jayhawk team is going to show up, but if they are on, look the hell out.
I am going with Iowa State.
Gus, 10. Yes. 5 for 10.
Yes.
Going for it.
Texas Tech is dealing with injuries, although I think they're healthy. You know, West Virginia, they've been back and forth. I don't know. Baylor could beat them. And then, like, when they – I think Iowa State knocks off Oklahoma in the championship game.
That would be a hell of a tournament.
Or Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah.
Oklahoma State. Okay.
Yeah.
Atlantic 10 kicks off tomorrow. The 12-13 game between LaSalle and UMass, we mentioned earlier. GW gets Fordham in the other play-in game. I don't know how much either of you want to discuss that game, but let's ask the bigger question, who wins the entire event? John, let me start with you on that one.
I think with this one, I'm probably going to go with St. Bonaventure, considering they've actually also played their best ball in the second half of the year. And Rhode Island, would it really shock you if they lost to either VCU or Dayton in the quarters? Because this is a conference where chalk never holds up. And I've seen years where the bracket goes completely upside down.
I agree with you. I think we're going to see a surprise here. I don't even think it's going to be the Bonnies, though. I think I'm taking Davidson.
Oh, you stole my pick. Yeah, Davidson needs to play a little bit of defense, just a little bit, and I think they can win this tournament. They don't even have to do a lot, just a little bit. Slip. But yeah,
Peyton Aldridge there. I mean, he could score. He could score a ton.
Right. So, but not a fan of this. I mean, again, we could with a standard bracket have six opening round games. We could play one tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we could have a quintuple. Well, what do you got against quintuple headers? They're fabulous events.
It's Mountain West time, David. We got three games tomorrow. The 8-9 game between Vegas and Air Force. The 7-10 game between Utah State, Colorado State. The Wyoming-San Jose State game. David, you see an upset?
Not really, no. I think Wyoming rolls San Jose State. UNLV playing in their home city should knock out Air Force. And Colorado State's just awful. So, but how much fun is this? I know that Nevada just blew it out, but these two teams split during the year. A Nevada-UNLV rematch in the quarterfinals. Don't count out UNLV if that comes to fruition.
That should be fun. John, who do you have winning the Mountain West?
Mountain West? Something tells me Boise State probably can make a run because I'm starting to wonder about Nevada themselves, especially after their recent loss to San Diego State.
Well, that's a nice pick, Boise State, but I think, David, I would like to go with the hottest team in this conference.
If don't pick San Diego State, that's who I'm picking.
Yeah, I stole your thunder again. Go for it, David.
They are the hottest team. They've beaten every – I mean, it's not that they're hot. It's that they're hot and they've beaten a lot of the better teams in the latter part of the season. This is a team with a high ceiling that simply didn't always play up to it but did in the latter part of the season. I think they do win this.
I agree with you. I like the San Diego State team. I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas took down Nevada, but even if they have to go through Nevada, I think they could win that game.
Yeah, I agree.
What is going to be our favorite format tournament of all time, Conference USA, the home of the Giant Curtain. You're going to have to see this to believe it tomorrow. They are playing two games simultaneously with a curtain in between them on separate courts. David, this is going to be so much fun.
It will be, but it would be – what they should do is have the men's on one side, the women's on the other. There's 14 teams in this conference. Why stop at 12? Why not invite one more team, and we could have had five opening round games, and we could have had a quintuple header?
John, any upsets in tomorrow's four games? FIU, Southern Miss, UTSA, UTEP, North Texas, Louisiana Tech, UAB, Florida Atlantic.
If I had to pick one out of that four, I might say Florida Atlantic.
I think that's
Facebook is going to be on fire tomorrow with the dual curtain.
There's Facebook games everywhere. And as far as who wins this, David, who wins the Conference USA tournament?
I think after a really disappointing loss in their season, to end their season, where they may have been drunk from the high of playing one of their better games of the year, they went from that to playing one of their worst. I think Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, is refocused. They're going to get past that quarterfinal. That gets them to the semi. You're one game away from the championship. Mentally, you're just locked in. I think it's Middle Tennessee. I think they're better than everyone else. What's that?
Can they finally beat Marshall? They got swept by Marshall. Now it'll be their semifinal opponent.
I think they can.
Okay. John?
I think Middle Tennessee gets by Marshall, but I think Western Kentucky is actually going to knock them off in the title game and cause Middle Tennessee to be sweating things out through Selection Sunday.
No, I'm going to go with Middle in this one also. I'm with David. I'm going to go with Middle over Old Dominion, though, in the final, not over
Western. I like that. And if the chalk holds, this is going to be a really entertaining semifinal and final. So,
It is also first round day tomorrow in the Sun Belt, where we got Coastal Carolina against Texas State, App State against Little Rock, Troy against South Alabama in the Alabama battle there.
Yeah.
Monroe against Arkansas State. David, you see any upsets tomorrow in the Sun Belt?
Not really.
Okay. So who do you have winning this? Who do you have winning the event here?
I'm going with the Fighting Ron Hunters. I know Louisiana has been the hot team all year. That would not be a bad pick. They are the overall first place team, but I like the way Georgia State's been playing at least most of the time, and I think it's going to be them.
Louisiana lost to Little Rock at home in the final game of the regular season. I would not be surprised to see Cliff Ellis take them down in the quarterfinals with Coastal Carolina. But I agree with you. I like Georgia State in this one, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that a hot is going to be a 5 seed right here, and I think they're pretty ripe for an upset themselves. But as far as who wins the tournament, I still am going to go with Louisiana despite taking the night off against Little Rock.
All right. That's first round day. One more tournament for tomorrow. It is also first round day in the Southland. Very busy day tomorrow. We got the New Orleans Corpus Christi game, followed by the Lamar Central Arkansas game. New Orleans, your defending champion, who had been in first place most of the season, ended up falling to fifth place and having to play an extra game here.
David, and how about ladder format? How about SFA not getting a buy into the semis for the first time? Well, maybe since last year, but. Central Arkansas is a team with a high ceiling that just simply did not play up to it all the time. You might remember they blew Cal out, although who didn't do that? They were right in there with UCLA and were just disappointing once they got into Southland play. How about Sela? That's Rocco's team. He's been championing them since December, getting it done in first place. But I don't know. I still can't. It's hard for me to not pick SFA, even though they're starting out in the quarters.
I've actually seen Central Arkansas play, but unfortunately for them, that was a day where they actually went down to Moorhead and actually lost in overtime.
Yeah.
But they certainly have a scoring threat in Jordan Howard that can win games single-handedly here, but probably not against SFA if they're able to make it that far.
Yeah.
So who do you think wins it, John?
Who do I think is going to win it? I'm probably going to go with Nichols here.
I'm with you. Hashtag go Colonels. This has been an amazing story. A Nichols team that just came out of nowhere. Wasn't expected to do anything this year. Led the conference most of the way. Sela caught them in the final game of the regular season to take I think it was a tie and they took the one seed by a tiebreaker, but I'm going Nichols to win this thing. SFA is going to fall to them in the semifinals. They'll take care of Southeastern Louisiana in the championship.
You're wrong, but okay.
That, let's go ahead and we'll pull that down and move over to our survival board. And David, can you tell us the purpose of the survival board?
Well, it's done to assist the committee. It shows everyone that's still playing, so they haven't been eliminated from their conference tournament. They still all control their own destiny, but it categorizes everyone. It's into four categories. One are the automatic qualifiers. Those are indicated by those in bold and all caps. The other ones that are locks, these are teams that even if they lose in their conference tournament, the committee will take them. Like, we're basically telling the committee, this is who you need to take. The third category is teams to consider. They're sort of on the bubble. Maybe you take them, maybe you don't. Those are in italics. And then the fourth category is everyone that's still playing, but everyone that, unless they win the automatic bid, won't be getting in. And that's the majority of the teams left. So this is a tool for the selection committee. As you know, the room that they work in has internet. It actually has Wi-Fi, so they can use their laptops, they can use their smartphones, they can use their tablets, and they can come to this page right here and just immediately see what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Right. And they had 218 teams to choose from heading into the day today as a result of today's game.
Yeah.
Down to 198 teams left. Any of you looking at it this morning, you'll actually see it now saying 197 as the loser of the Sacramento State-Portland State game will also be coming off the board sometime in the next half. So as we record this. There we go. We can see some of the teams up here. We see, for example, the Big East, where Creighton, Seton Hall, Villanova, and Xavier are locks no matter what. Yeah. Marquette, Providence, teams to think about. DePaul, Georgetown, St. John's, only if they win the Big East tournament, correct?
Right. So, yeah.
You see their College of Charleston, bold in all caps. They're an auto bid. Have to be in.
Right. They're in, and Northeastern taken off the board entirely. They're one of the 20 teams that fell off. Wright State also in the night. Iona also in last night. LIU Brooklyn also in. So, and this is just – I mean, imagine how difficult the committee's job would be if it weren't for us putting this page together.
They may think, for example, oh, wow – we may have to sit here and debate whether or not Vanderbilt should be in the tournament.
Well, Vanderbilt or Lamar, New Orleans, I mean, you just don't know what to do, but you come to this page and then suddenly you know what to do.
And then they may have another debate. Well, Florida, should they be in? Should they not be in? Do we need to spend 50 hours debating whether Florida gets in? It's already decided. You don't have
to and the work's done for them. So, I mean, it's just a brilliant resource. It makes their lives so much easier.
And a lot more time for spaghetti.
Yeah, more time for the pasta dinner.
That'll be tomorrow night, and probably on Thursday is when we begin debating on teams like St. Mary's, who are squarely on the bubble now.
Yep.
On that note, I guess, David, are we just about done for the day?
No.
We got to give you a shot to get out. We have a trivia contest we are doing for David.
Not the damn trivia question.
Here's the way it works. We have a panel of Hoops HD experts that have come up with trivia questions.
No one has ever seen these Hoops HD experts, by the way.
They're out there. These experts have developed answers to these questions.
Experts are morons is what they are.
And we've challenged David. If he can just get one right, we will let him out of the puppet bunker. So, and John, you're allowed to help him out with the answers if you want to. You can tell him you're not going to if you don't want to either, but I got the envelope here, David. Today's question. Oh, this is a good one here. Larry Bird helped lead this team to a number one ranking, the school's only Final Four, and an appearance in the national championship game against Michigan State and Magic Johnson. Again, Larry Bird helped lead this team to a number one ranking, a Final
Everyone
Four.
Everyone knows this.
National championship game against Magic Johnson and Michigan State. What is the name of this that Larry Bird did this for?
Everyone knows this. It was the most watched college basketball game ever up till that point. It basically is one of the games that helped solidify March Madness being what it was. It was the Bird Magic Final. It was the Indiana State Sycamores, the Trees. Everybody knows the answer to this. Everyone, this is a common knowledge question.
That's your final answer, then.
Yes, it's the correct answer.
Well, David, let's reveal the envelope here and see if you are right. There's the answer. The answer is, of course, Boston College.
He did not play for Boston College. Boston College has never been to the finals. They didn't play event. John, who are these experts? I want to know who these experts are.
Boston, the history of Boston, Massachusetts. Is he not one of the most famous?
I just got a text from Rocco here saying, are you sure it's not Boston U?
No, it's not Boston U. It was Boston College. Our experts.
It was not Boston U. It was not Boston College either.
Go into the biggest reader you could find in the city of Boston and look for Larry Bird's name. It's hanging up there in the rafters, David. He led Boston College to the national championship game where they lost to Magic Johnson and the Los Angeles Lakers.
I want to know who these experts are. Like, these are complete morons.
On that note, let's go to any final thoughts. John, how about you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to be smiling as far as what I've heard this morning, as far as changes coming to the selection show with Turner hosting it for the first time this year. Apparently, one of their plans is in the first segment of the show, they're going to reveal all 68 of the teams before they start to unveil the brackets line by line. So, unfortunately, that's going to take a lot of the suspense out that we've grown accustomed to over the years where we go region by region or even on our own bracket reveal shows where we actually go one line at a time. So at least we build up to see who's making the cut line and who's going to be receiving auto bids. So kind of a shame if this does indeed come to fruition.
Yeah, I'm not that certain. I agree with you. I'm not that certain I like that idea. I wouldn't mind if they did a different format, but
I like our format. That's our the one they should use.
David, your final thoughts?
My final thought, getting back to the Summit League tonight, we have the power conferences. Those are the ones that the media follows the most. I guess the power conferences and the multi-bid leagues. But sometimes I don't think people realize how big of a following some of these under-the-radar schools have, particularly some of the Summit League schools, North Dakota State, North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota State, how intense some of those rivalries are. And the Big Sky, another one, although you wouldn't know it by looking at their tournament today, but there are conferences out there that I know that this is the championship week and this is kind of the showcase, but these are teams with significant followings that play in front of energetic crowds all season long. And, in one sense, I wish they got more attention than what they did. That's one of the reasons we enjoy doing Under the Radar. But what a great showcase for the Summit League, the state of South Dakota. It gave them a spotlight that they don't ever get, but probably should get more of. And although it didn't come down to the wire, that is a budding rivalry, and it's an intense one.
Yeah, it is, and it was real fun to see them win tonight. I mean, there's a great celebration there. It was a nice celebration for all the under-the-radar teams that won Charleston, and watching even LIU Brooklyn, with the fans that they did have there, celebrating on the court at Wagner tonight. But I guess on that note, on behalf of John Slica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us for another Championship Week Video Notebook. We'll be back again tomorrow night, and we will have our first update from our Hoops HD mock selection committee when we come to you tomorrow night, because we will be revealing on the air tomorrow night the results of what's called our initial balloting. So look forward to that as well. So have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.